Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Helen.
And I'm Sarah.
And this is a Squiggly Careers podcast, where every week we talk about a different topic to do with work and share some ideas of action that we hope will help you to navigate your squiggly career with more confidence, clarity and control than you might have started out with when you first listened to this episode. Hopefully we can do that for you by the end of the 30 minutes that we talk about today's topic. Before we let you know what that topic is, we wanted to share some news that we're really excited about, which is that the Squiggly Careers podcast has now reached 2 million downloads. That's exciting. Ooh, I wanted to whoop. Yeah, where was your whoop?
Sorry, it's a delayed reaction.
Yeah. For context, everyone, we're recording this quite late at night and it's been a busy week, including a UCoachU launch event, which was delayed by 2 months because of the pandemic. So we're a little bit tired. So if there are some long pauses tonight, it's because Sarah's brain's catching up with my mouth.
That is definitely true.
But we did, to sort of celebrate that moment, as exciting as 2 million downloads are, we have a value of useful. And so we wanted to turn it into something that could be useful for our listeners. And so we looked at the top 10 episodes since we started the podcast. And then we have curated all of the pod sheets for each of those episodes. So it's a PDF. It's got the list of the 10 episodes and 10 pod sheets, 10 practical pod sheets that you can use to help you to take action. And you can get the link to that in the notes for this show. And if you can't find the notes for this show because you might be listening on a platform and you're scrolling around, you can't find it, just email us. We are helenandsarah@squigglycareers.com. In the links as well, you'll also find out how you can be part of the Squiggly Careers community outside of just listening by signing up to Podmail and also joining Pod Plus, our weekly live session where we bring everyone together and dive a bit deeper into the topic.
So today's topic is how to create, not wait, for challenge at work. And we thought we'd start with why this feels important, why we should bother creating this challenge for ourselves.
My gosh, squiggly careers are hard enough. Yeah, exactly. Now you want me to create more challenge.
I do think that. And I think that's a fair comment that we'll come back to. But what we do know is that when we work hard at something that stretches us and that feels difficult, it's really rewarding. It's where we find motivation and meaning. And it's good for us and it is good for our brains. And though the more you do read about this, you do realise it will also probably feel, at times at least, uncomfortable and hard too. And almost, I think that's a clue that you're getting it right, because it's probably not challenging enough if it never feels a bit difficult or a bit tough at some moments when you're kind of thinking about what that challenge might look like for you.
I guess it takes you to flow, doesn't it? We cover in the book, which is that you're in a state of flow, not when work is easy, but actually when work has some challenge, and you're so enjoying and engaged in that challenge that you're not conscious of time. So actually for us to find our flow, to like be in the zone, it has to be challenging for that to be possible.
And I was reading a bit of brain science. I won't profess to be anything like an expert, but some of the research was saying that your brain really only changes. So, you know, we talk about neuroplasticity, that our brains all have the ability to continually learn and grow. It doesn't matter how old we are, but it only makes those changes when you really challenge it. And that's the kind of the really important part, that your brain needs to feel like it's learning something to have impact. So they describe it as cognitive tasks that feel difficult. So simply like playing a game that might take a bit of brain power, almost might be fun and you might enjoy it, or it might feel a bit difficult, but it's probably not quite doing that stretching your brain or kind of growing your brain. I almost imagine my brain getting bigger, which I do appreciate from a scientific perspective doesn't actually happen. But I like to think that's what's happening, that we're intentionally giving ourselves the opportunity to explore new potential, to feel more meaning and motivated at work.
So I guess what Sarah's talked about there is sort of why bother generally, but there is an additional build on this, which is sort of why bother now, which I think is quite interesting. I was reading an article that said that the pandemic, you know, we talk about burnout, you know, you're doing so much work and you're not getting the chance to kind of rest and reset. But this article talked about the idea of bore out. And it said that because the pandemic, there's quite a lot of repetitive days in a pandemic, and the way that people are working now is often feeling quite repetitive. So back-to-back meetings, a bit less stimulation, maybe a bit less randomness, like when you're in the office and sort of things would just happen. And thankfully, some people sort of are getting back to some of that in the office now. But this idea of bore out has been seen, and that they have started to spot links to when work is very samey and a bit boring without the stimulation, that there could actually be links towards mental health, so depression within a work context as well. So what we're really looking for here is the challenge to bring back some of that stimulation, some of that difference in our days, that we can sort of counteract potentially the risk of bore out. What do you think of the concept of bore out, Sarah?
Well, I don't like it much because it's not very motivating, is it? But I think probably we can all recognize it at some point over the past couple of years, or certainly in our careers. And I also think, contrasting to that, I was reflecting when I was researching this and we were looking at the ideas for action, what has stopped me from doing this in the past? And probably it's been less bore out and it's been more about being so busy being busy, you know, just that delivering on day-to-day tasks that need to get done, you know, making the work happen that you've got to deliver in an average week. Personally, I can recognise lots of times where it's felt really hard to find the space for that challenge, to think about that challenge, to find that challenge, to make that challenge happen. And I sometimes think you almost have to recognise that it does take capacity. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes we feel like we haven't got that capacity because we're just like, I'm so head down at the moment. I feel like I've not come up for air for a while. And I can see also examples over the last 2 years where it's almost like gone from one extreme to the other, like either incredibly busy or perhaps you're more in that kind of repetitive bore out that Helen described. But I don't think either of those states help us to find and create the challenge that we know is going to be really motivating in our careers.
It's like there's a difference. When you were talking, I was thinking, and you mentioned the word like hard, working hard. And I was thinking, oh, I think there might be a difference between working hard and creating challenge for yourself. Like working hard means I'm doing quite a lot and I'm fitting a lot into my days, but that doesn't mean that I'm consciously creating challenge. I think this is you having a bit more ownership over what that challenge looks like and where it's coming from, not just, you know, working hard at your day-to-day job, which may have challenge in it, but it's not you really taking ownership for that challenge. And on that ownership point, there's often a trap that we see, which is where we make our development dependent on other people. We look to our manager to give us that challenge. So even if you've got to this sort of mindset of, oh, I would actually quite like to have more challenge in my job, I don't just want to work hard at what I'm already doing, I want some of that stretch in my work. And then you get into this waiting mode where you're like, and I'm just going to wait for my manager to give me that challenging opportunity or that challenging project that's going to help me with my growth. But the problem when we are waiting is that we can also fall into stagnating. We're just sat there waiting for that gift to be given to us for our growth. And then we start to get a bit bored. We get a bit demotivated. That's not great for our development. So the more we can create rather than wait, the more that we can take control of that situation. And we've got a few coach yourself questions for you to think through where you might be right now in terms of challenge at work. So the first one is, on a scale of 1 to 10, how challenging is your work at the moment? The second question is, what does challenge at work look like for you? And the third question is, what is a new challenge that you're excited by? And we've put those Coach Yourself questions in the pod sheet that goes along with this episode as well. Again, that's in our show notes and on our website for you.
And one of the traps that I think lots of our listeners might recognise is sometimes we get into that waiting mode, and that might mean that nothing happens. I think the other thing that can sometimes happen is, you know, that conversation where your manager comes to you and says, I've got a brilliant development opportunity for you. And you're thinking, oh no, because you're already really busy. And you're like, does this just mean more work? And perhaps that person is actually creating challenge for you. But then my question is, well, is that the right challenge? Is that the challenge that you want to be taking? Is that the space that you want to be developing in? So that's the other risk. I think if we wait, either nothing will happen or the wrong things could come your way. And I think I've actually done that before. So as a manager, thought, oh, I feel like this person might want a bit more challenge and have got the potential to explore some like new and interesting things. You know, I probably perhaps would have avoided saying that development opportunity sentence. But, you know, you actually say, oh, there's an opportunity to do something really interesting. And you're sort of assuming that is what that person wants to do. And it absolutely might not be. That might not be the direction they want their career to go in. That might not be building on the skills and the strengths that person has got. So, you know, you want to be in control of this challenge rather than waiting for it or letting somebody else kind of tell you what your challenge should look like. So we've now got five ideas for action for you on how you can create challenge. So if you buy our logic of creating rather than waiting, what can then you go and do? What might this look like? And our idea for action one is about stretching your strengths in a new direction. With strengths, we know two things are true. The more you use your strengths, the stronger they get, which makes sense. And also, the more we use our strengths in different situations, they get even stronger again. So let's say you're a brilliant problem solver. Maybe you use those problem solving skills in your job already. Brilliant. And that's the more you frequently you use them, the stronger they will get. But where else could you use those problem solving skills? Maybe that's across your team. If you've got a collective problem where you could sort of volunteer your problem solving skills, is there anything else across your organization? Is there anything in your industries or your communities or your networks or things that you volunteer for or that you're passionate about? When Helen and I were both thinking about our examples of this one, you know, we both actually went outside of Amazing If, and it's like we hadn't talked about our examples beforehand, but I was thinking about one of the things that I think I'm good at is, it sounds like a bizarre thing to be good at, but I'm good at not being the expert in the room and leading and facilitating conversations where everybody else pretty much knows more than I do. And so one of the things that I do outside of Amazing If is coach a board all about workspace, affordable and accessible workspace. And that stretches my strength of not being an expert in the room and, you know, facilitating good quality conversations in a very different way to how I use that skill and that strength in Amazing If, or perhaps working with some of our clients. And so I can see every time I have one of those meetings, it feels stretching. I can sort of feel that challenge because I always get a bit more nervous. It's always sort of on my mind that I want those meetings to go really well. And I'm so in it. So Helen talked about that idea of flow. I think I'm always very focused and incredibly present because it's, you know, sort of right at the edges probably of my capability and my challenge, and probably each time it gets a bit more comfortable, but I've been doing it for at least 2 or 3 years now and it still feels challenging.
And mine is sort of similar context, like Sarah said, something I do outside of work. So I'm a trustee for a charity called Working Families. And one of my strengths is I'm a good catalyst. So if there's an opportunity or an idea or something in sort of progress that's just got started, I am really good at moving it forward fast and growing it very quickly. So I can take an idea and I can be like, let's test and learn and prototype and do something with it. And often in the charity, we will have meetings and I get to take some things that I'm not that familiar with, you know, some things that the charity's working on because it's not my day-to-day work, but I can take that strength and I can use it to support them. And for me, that's with sort of different people on different projects, different topics than I would do ordinarily, but it really helps me to stretch that strength in a different way than I do in my day-to-day. And I enjoy it because that's the thing about your strengths, like it gives you energy when you use it. So yes, it is challenging and a bit hard, but it also energizes me at the same time as I get better. So it is a real sort of win-win for yourself, I think, when you start stretching your strengths. So the second idea for action is all about increasing your experiments. And we've talked about experiments before in an episode of the podcast because it is such an important part of learning at work. And I think that it's not one that I see as much as I would like to. Like, I don't see people talking about, oh, what experiments are we doing? I'm trying to put it more into my language. Like, I was talking to someone in our team, the lovely Vivi that will be listening to this because Vivi creates the pod sheets. I was talking to her today about running a few experiments with some things that we're going to put out on Instagram to see what works. And I was talking about, oh, we should have a hypothesis because my assumption is that it will work better if, and let's just see whether that's true. And the idea with experiments is not not for it always to be successful. The idea with experiments is that you're doing it to actively learn. And what that does is it gives you permission to do things that might fail. And that can be challenging. I mean, just doing something that you might fail at is like challenge in itself, as well as maybe pushing boundaries of what you're doing today. I think experiments are a brilliant way for you to find challenge. And I have done one very recently, which I think could sort of bring to life the benefits of this, but also the what makes it hard to do. Part of Sarah and I's day job is running career development sessions and programs for organizations. And one of our clients is Vodafone. We've worked with them for a long time, doing lots of different programs for their people. And I decided that I would run an experiment to do a session differently. So it was all around career conversations, and I sort of redesigned it. And it was the first time I had trialed it, and I did it in a session, and some things worked well and some things didn't. And that was fine because it was an experiment and it was for learning. But I say that was fine. I still thought, oh no, this isn't as good as it could be, because it probably won't be, because you're not trying to make it perfect or you do what you were already doing. You're trying to do something different, and that inevitably means that some things will work and some things won't. So it does feel hard, and you sort of get used to that the more you do experiments. But what I learned personally, if you're trying to do something for the first time that you've never done before, is as well as just saying, it doesn't have to be brilliant, it doesn't have to be brilliant, as well as saying that to yourself, also signalling to other people that it's an experiment is really helpful, because I find that that takes the pressure off. Like if you think they think it should be perfect, then that suddenly creates quite a lot of pressure. But if I'm signalling to Sarah, for example, oh, Sarah, just so that you know, over the next week, we're going to try out some new content on Instagram. And it's mainly to see whether it works. Like we don't quite know how it's going to go, but that's why I'm doing it. Then Sarah suddenly knows, oh, okay, that's why she's doing something different. She's doing it to learn, and therefore will be more supportive of that and potentially give me some useful feedback to support that as well, rather than being like, Helen, what are you doing? That's not the normal thing that you do. What, you've gone rogue. This isn't about going rogue. This is about learning through experiments, increasing your challenge by experiments.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that I've observed that I find hard about experiments, so over the last year, we've run something called our Squiggly Career Advocates program. And we always called that an experiment from day one. We'd got a hypothesis about what we were trying to achieve. And it definitely gave us that freedom and the permission to do something that did feel uncomfortable and challenging. It was an uncomfortable timeline that we had to launch that program. It felt challenging because we'd not done it before. We weren't really sure if it was going to work. And the thing, even knowing all of that, the thing I think I found really hard as we've started doing more and more experiments in Amazing If is because I'm naturally critical, I can see all of the time all of the things that are sort of not working and that are not as good. I've got a sort of real even better if mindset and mentality, which is definitely useful, but can also get in your own way if you don't sort of remember that mantra of progress over perfection. And you've almost got to redefine what success looks like. You've got to be really clear. I think with experiments, what success looks like is learning lots and being really clear about what are you learning? Like, what would you then maybe do differently next time? What has failed and why? It's almost loads of those questions that unlock learning. If you're doing that really well, that is success. And it's sort of letting go of perhaps what success feels like elsewhere in your job. Well, and one of the other things that makes it challenging is the change of mindset, because your experiment mindset is different, I think, to your probably like your day-to-day mindset for some other things that you'll probably be working on. So that also adds a level of challenge, that sort of change of mindset. So I think you get challenged from all directions when you're experimenting. So it's a brilliant thing to do, but it can feel hard. And the other thing I would encourage people listening to think about is, can you experiment with someone else? And I think doing this by yourself in particular can feel quite hard. But if there's two of you on a team doing something, or we've been experimenting with Squiggly Career Stories, and that's been myself and a brilliant lady called Candace who's been working on that together, I feel like we've been like just a little team creating our own experiment. And I think that would have felt really different if I'd been doing that by myself. So also kind of who can you find to run these experiments with?
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com. Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states.
UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So idea for action number three is about finding a challenger or challengers. So if you want to have more challenge generally in the work that you're doing, spending time with a group of people or individuals who make you feel uncomfortable, who ask you those hard questions, who maybe, you know, make you stop and just rethink or unlearn and relearn some of the things that you kind of thought were true, will create challenge for you. So I would be asking yourself a question now about how often do I spend time with someone where I feel like I'm really challenged? Maybe because I disagree with them, maybe because they've just got such a different point of view to me, maybe just because I'm really challenged because they're experiences and their expertise are just so far away from my understanding, and they spend time in a very different world to my world. And so one of the things that I'm actually doing later this year is going to something called Do Lectures, which is like a 2 or 3 day event in Wales. And part of the reason that I have tried for 3 years to go to that event, and this year I feel like I finally might make it, is that I know people who've been before, and I know sort of the intent of that event is really to bring together people who are, I think, natural, either like game changers, you could call them, or challengers. People who challenge the status quo, who've maybe done things differently, who are, you know, have just got a really interesting point of view. And I find the idea of that event, because obviously on my mind, it's not until July, and we're recording this in March, I find it quite nerve-wracking and quite scary, partly as an introvert, having to meet a lot of new people, always quite scary for me. But I also think the idea of, you know, people who probably will ask you hard questions, who might look at the work that you're doing and not automatically go, oh yeah, that sounds great, or what a brilliant thing to be doing. Because I think we are very fortunate in the work that we do is we have a lot of cheerleaders and champions. And I think you need those cheerleaders and champions. But I think just as importantly, you need those challengers. So perhaps just think about, you know, within your informal mentoring group, have you got a real challenger in there? When was the last time you had a conversation with someone you really disagreed with or who just made you think really differently? And if that's a bit of a gap you've got, start to look for those people. Where do they hang out? In your organization, in your team? Maybe they're people, if I'm being really honest, I think previously these would have been people that I would have avoided. certainly in organizations, I would have been like, absolutely not. But then having spent time with some of those people in hindsight, I think it does challenge you and it does make you feel uncomfortable. And so maybe sort of leaning into that challenge rather than, if you're like me, like avoiding it and leaning away from it, and just see what happens, see what you notice, see what you learn.
I think thinking about people that you've worked with previously that you have avoided actively is actually a really good way. It's a really good, because if you're just trying to name some names, I mean, you'll definitely get to some names from that.
I could very quickly, yeah.
And then thinking from those people and who, if I was choosing now to put them in the role of challenger of that, however long your list is of people, who would I choose to use first? I think it's a really good, that definitely gives me some practical thoughts about who I could go to. You don't have to tell them that they were on the avoidance list to begin with. Keep that to yourself. The fourth idea for action is redesign your defaults. So we all have default modes of working and ways of working and ways of learning. So maybe you always learn by listening to podcasts. Maybe you always learn on your own rather than doing it in groups of people. Maybe you always get up in the morning and the first thing that you do is spend an hour in your inbox. Like, we all have these default because it feels quite comfortable and familiar for us. And often it's us operating on autopilot. And what we're trying to do by redesigning our defaults is shake ourselves up a bit, find a new challenge, do something that isn't us on autopilot. And so it's quite useful to think about what is you on autopilot. On an average day, what do you do by default? What do you do without even thinking? Like, literally from the moment that you wake up, which normally starts with me sometimes checking my emails in bed. That's awful. Like, what's happened in the last 6 hours I've been asleep? I know it should be longer, but it's been a busy week. So, and then obviously I don't need to do that, but that's a bit of a default. That's a bit of a habit, and it's not necessarily a healthy one. And then I have other habits, like I'll have breakfast and I always check out this app called Feedly. That's the main way that I kind of scan through like the latest news around career development. That's how geeky that I am. I'll send Sarah a few WhatsApps at about 6:30. This is all like, this is literally by about 7 o'clock stuff that I do on default. So it is useful to start with, what do I do by default? An average working day, what do I essentially do without even thinking about it first? And then it's thinking about how could you redesign some of those things. So it could be your ways of working, what you're working on, who you work with, how you learn, all those sorts of things could be part of your defaults. And so a very specific one of my defaults, I think we've talked about on the podcast, is about how I respond when work needs to get done. So I have a default response when like work needs to get done, particularly if it needs to get done fast. My default response to that is always, I'll do it. Whenever there's any like, oh, I've got quite a lot on, or I'm not sure I could fit it in, I'll be like, don't worry, I'll do it. I just say that all the time.
Yeah, you really do.
Now I'm aware of it, I'm like, oh, it's going to really irritate me when I think about how many times in a day do I say, I'll do it. And it's not really a helpful default for all kinds of reasons that you can probably imagine. I get overworked. I don't help other people to take ownership. Oh, loads of reasons. It's not helpful, but it's a default. But what I could do is redesign that default. And when I say what I could do, I am trying to do this. I'm actually trying to, I'm challenging myself to do this, everyone, is instead of my default, I'll do it response, I'm trying to say things like, okay, well, how could we do it differently? Or how could we make it work together? Well, what help do you need to move it forward? Rather than just go, I'll do it. So I'm trying to have a few more default responses than just I'll do it. But that is a challenge for me because you're effectively going from being consciously incompetent is where I am now, because I'm like, oh no, I know I say that, to sort of really trying to become ultimately unconsciously competent, trying to make this shift of where I'm doing something different without even thinking about it. And making that shift is a challenge, but that's where we grow, and that's one of the things that you can create for yourself. Sarah, have you got any defaults that you'd like to redesign?
No, I'm perfect in every way. Just like Mary Poppins.
Would you like some feedback? Is that one of your... No. I'm going to ask for some feedback.
No. So I was thinking about this very specifically, and I think one of my defaults, and we're talking about redesigning defaults, is some of the things that I don't do. So very specifically, I don't do any kind of content for our business that essentially is short and quick turnaround that maybe needs to get done. You know, there's a time pressure related to it. So, you know, if it's like, oh, we just need...
quick, you know, post Mother's Day, Sarah. Fact.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so my reaction is like, no.
Which everything... some might say is fixed mindset.
Some might say that.
However,
if you said to me, in a year's time, I'd be like, yeah, by that point, I'll have done something. But I think my default is, because I'm a thinker / sometimes overthinker, and because I like to have time to reflect, I know I'm not at my best when I do things quickly and under pressure. So therefore, my default is basically to not do things. And there are times where that's not helpful and that's not practical. And also, I'm not challenging myself it's definitely not stretching a strength. I think sometimes these things, you get challenged from different places. This would be almost like being more of a beginner, you know, almost like getting the challenge from being a beginner, from something that you know you either don't do well or you do very infrequently. And the having, like, it's a bit of a have a go mindset. Like, what are you going to, if you were going to redesign my default, it'd be like, how could Sarah have a go at some of that quick turnaround content that matters and is important and is part of what we do, And at the moment, that is that 100% relies on you, essentially, to make those things happen, or it just doesn't happen. And so I think, and we were even talking about this before the podcast, slash having an argument about it.
Debate.
Constructive, what is it? Constructive conversation we were having. And you were like, I'm going to set you a challenge. And I was like, oh God, do you have to?
She nearly swore at me, everyone. She listened, she was like, just let's record this podcast now.
But I do think the only way I would ever challenge myself and change my behaviour is to do that, is to set a week, to set a very specific task and go, right, you're going to do it every day at this time and it's going to work in this way. And it's almost like it's a non-negotiable. I think I would have to make it a non-negotiable and almost the first thing I did in my day. So Helen says she's going to come up with some sort of task that I have to do for a week or something. So
I don't know if I am. I'd like you to come up with that task because I'm not going to do it, remember?
How can we do it differently? We're going to get, and also I'm meant to be creating my own challenges, aren't I? So we're going to get stuck in a weird loop of me not really wanting to, but knowing I should.
Proud. I hope our listeners are proud of me for like not taking that on.
Okay. Well, you'll have to tell me what's useful for social and I will create my own challenge and have a go at doing it.
Okay.
Or maybe I could do like, you know, when they get like cool people to do Instagram takeovers, maybe I could do a takeover of our own account.
Sarah's takeover. I love that idea.
I'm good at ideas, you see. That's a bit I'm good at.
I like the Sarah takeover.
So maybe that's what we should do.
Maybe a day.
You're like, gosh, maybe. You should never do a week. I love the fact you went straight to not for a week, though. Absolutely
not. Well, I was thinking maybe like an Instagram post and a story and something on LinkedIn. And then you could experiment with some different things in a day.
You won't even let me do it for one. Okay. So I will do a Sarah social takeover for one day. There you go. I've created my own challenge and committed to it out loud.
And I didn't take it on.
And I will let you know soon what day that might be.
Okay, brilliant. 2023. When she thought about it.
September the 1st. So idea for action number 5, and it sort of links actually to where we got to there with that Instagram challenge, is go after about a 30-day goal. So try and think of something. Set yourself a target of something that is difficult and doable in the next 30 days. So to be honest, it feels both difficult and doable for me to do a Sarah Instagram social takeover. Like that will not be, some of you might be like, how can she not just do that? But I definitely couldn't. It already worries me just thinking about it. Or perhaps there's like a project that you've wanted to like just get started or get underway. And I think by setting yourself that sort of 30-day goal, make it really visible so that you can see it every day, almost like kind of mark the moment of being like, right, this is the thing that I think would create challenge for me and that I know I could do essentially in the next month. And then what you can start to do is think, okay, so what are all the actions that get me closer to that challenge? How do I start to make progress? And by seeing it every day, by making it really visible, by being very specific, you just keep reminding yourself to essentially create that challenge, to make some progress and to prioritize it. So back to that point I said about, you know, sometimes we're just so busy being busy. I think once you've got a clear target in mind, somehow it feels easier to create the space or to think, I'm going to start my day doing that thing because that's me getting one step closer to that challenge, that website I want to build for the first time. I don't know, the fitness challenge you might have in mind. So just have something like that and keep it really short and specific. I think something within a 30-day window that you know would create challenge for you, that you've chosen, that you've taken ownership for, keep it somewhere you can see it and then just sort of keep coming back to it and kind of keep going through it. And I think often the more progress and momentum you get, the more optimistic you feel and therefore you keep going. Again, if you wanted to do this with someone, I suspect this would work even better. So if you know someone else who listens to the podcast or someone else in your organization where maybe you've both got a 30-day goal, you can sort of swap your goals, like swap and share them, and then almost hold each other to account a little bit. Mm. I think an accountability partner on any of these things, you want to create your own challenges, but then exactly as Helen and I have just done, Helen can sort of hold me to account to that challenge a bit. You know, she's heard me articulate that. She's heard me sort of go through that thinking process of creating it. And then she can give me that nudge, she can give me that support, she can celebrate when I'm absolutely incredible on Instagram and everyone just wonders why I'd not done it before.
And don't forget that it's an experiment, so it doesn't have to be absolutely amazing. It's more about learning, just to bring that point back in.
Well, you're just managing everyone's expectations. Who follows us on Instagram?
I'm trying to take the perfectionism away. But no, just listening to you actually talk that through, it makes me think about the previous one, redesigning your defaults, and that whole my default start of the day is quite phone heavy, like checking my email very early in the morning, going on Feedly, that's normal. And I think redesigning, like for 30 days, thinking about could I redesign the way that I start my day? If I didn't pick up my phone for the first 60 minutes, what could I do differently? That feels like, oh, imagine if I, over a month, I redesigned that first hour of the day. That actually feels difficult but doable to me. I don't think, if you said don't look at your phone until, you know, 4 p.m. I'd be like, that's never going to happen. But for the first hour, I think I just have to break a habit, redesign my defaults. So that's probably as challenging for me as a day of you doing Instagram and social media.
I'd absolutely love for you to have a day without your phone. I'd find it so funny.
If I do that, I'm gonna set you a really hard challenge in return. But that's just causing each other pain. Why would we do that to each other?
I don't know, because it's late. Probably
it's late. Just on that as well, just on the goal, it just made me think about a TED talk that I rewatched recently, which is, it's slightly different, but it's about how you can learn something new over 30 days. So it is more about learning, and it is more about like every day kind of moving something towards a goal that you're trying to get to. But it's a really short TED talk. It's like 4 minutes long.
Oh, really?
I was like, wow, yeah, it's really short and it's really good. And the speaker, who I've name I've forgotten, but we'll put this as one of the links on the pod sheet for you, talks
is it
about
Matt Kurtz.
Yes, it's Matt. And he talks about is how he wrote a book in a month. And he said it wasn't a very good book, but he basically divided up like a 60,000 word count into how much he needed to do every day, which is what, 2,000 words? And then like as long as he wrote 2,000 words a day, he'd written a 60,000 word book. Like, obviously it needed editing. I don't think anyone published it, but still, he said for the rest of his life, he could call himself an author. So let's just summarize those 5 ideas for action to help you create challenge. So 1, stretch your strengths. 2, increase your experiments. 3, find a challenge or a challenger. 4, redesign your defaults. And 5, go after a goal.
Do you want to talk about what we're going to do on the podcast next week, Helen?
Yes, I do, because I can't wait.
If you think this week has been bad, wait until next week.
So I can't wait for next week for 2 reasons. Next week, we're talking about manifestation. 1, I've got quite into it. I'm really collecting images from my vision boards. I've written statements down in my phone. So you can't see Sarah, but she's looking in pain, which is the second reason why I'm looking forward to talking about this. Because I think it's not, manifesting is not Sarah's, it's not an immediate thing she'd rush into. But
I'm going to be really growth mindset about it though.
Of course. And actually the podcast is not, we think manifestation's brilliant, we should all do it. The podcast we are going to record, it's let's get really practical about manifesting. And even if you don't buy into the full thing, what bits of the manifesting process could work for you? And so I've got there's a manifesting equation that we're going to work through, Sarah, and we're going to, you know, you can be the practical cynic and I will be the optimistic enthusiast.
I read a Guardian article about it, which is a very good article, and I wanted to WhatsApp you and say, let's not do it. So the fact that we're still doing it is your influence and persuasion, and also I felt like you've gone quite far because you keep sending me these pictures and I was just like, what are all these pictures? She's like, I'm doing the manifestation thing. I'm like, right, okay. And I was just reading it, just going, okay, I'm even more skeptical than I was before I'd done any research. I'm now going to read a book.
Joy it's bringing me. I've already manifested happiness. I'm just tired.
I'm also reading a book now called Toxic Positivity, which I'm absolutely loving.
I'm sure you are. Why are we friends, everybody? Somewhere we meet in the middle with my overenthusiasms and Sarah's cynicism just makes us a pretty normal person.
Between us, we eventually net out as someone vaguely normal.
Hopefully that comes across in some way, shape or form in this podcast. But more than anything, we hope that this has been useful. We hope that you've got some ideas for action that you want to try out, that you want to download that pod sheet and learn a bit further, share it with other people to help them. That's what this podcast is all about.
So thank you all so much for listening. As always, we really appreciate all of your ratings, reviews, subscribing and sharing with other people. We'll be back next week to talk about manifestations.
Woo!
Bye for now.
Bye for now.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen,
premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.